talking about having big shoes to fill, and I feel that way when I get up here in this pulpit, because we have a wonderful pastor that brings real powerful messages, and I hope today that I can do service for the Lord in the message that he's laid on my heart. First, I ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, and we're just going to read verses 5 through 6. This is the standard I'm going by today, the book that I'm going to be reading from just for the opening, and I'm going to go through multiple passages, so just follow along if you would. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I've thought about many times in my life questions of what am I going to do when I grow up? I know many young people think about that. I still thought about that many times. What am I going to do when I grow up? Should I take on this or that responsibility? What role of leadership should I take in this or that organization? And should I apply for this or that job? What should I do? Should I take it if I'm offered it? This has recently applied to me as I accepted a job with the Department of Juvenile Justice. And many of you know that. And I'm going to tie this into my message today and what it means. But it was a leap of faith. And I left a job that I thought I knew pretty well, going to a job I didn't know that well. You know, we're all faced with choices in life. No matter our age, young people, you're faced with many choices. And sometimes on a daily and weekly basis, we make decisions that have big implications for our lives. How can we know those choices are the right ones and that we're making good choices? Should we solely rely on the feelings that we get to make these choices? Or should we look for signs to validate our decisions? Should we solely rely on consulting others to make our decisions? Some people even say if the stars are not lining up, we should make those decisions. Well, I don't know about that, but I don't think I'm going to look to the stars for that. I'm going to look to the maker of the stars. Often, many times we hear people say, how do I know it's the voice of God speaking to my heart and speaking through and whispering in my ear and what he wants me to do in my life? You see, God wants to fellowship with us and have that close relationship with us. And what does a good, healthy relationship require in life and with God? It requires two-party, two-way communication. We have to be good listeners, mostly. And sometimes we have to listen a lot and really not say a whole lot. And that's been apparent in my life. And that was the lesson that I learned growing up. I spoke a lot when I should have been listening to my parents. And we all make those decisions. We all speak when we should be listening. But see, when we listen, we hear so much that can apply to our lives and help us through life in itself. There were learning moments for me, as they are now. And God speaks, we should listen. And I think as Christians, we need to hone our listening skills because it pertains to hearing his voice. You see, God wants a healthy relationship with us, so we have to have that healthy dialogue. When we listen to what he has to say, and our relationships with other people will improve. I found that to be true. When God sent Jesus as a sacrificial lamb, his intent was to have a closer communion with us. In Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 20, demonstrates this, and that we can have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. In addition, God wants us to have success. He wants us to prosper. He wants our success to be a blessing to other people. Remember that. Too much is given, much is expected. I really try to live by that. How we define success and God's definition are often differing. You see, the world determines success by what we have and who we are, not who we are through Christ. You see, we see things sometimes through a worldly lens, a lens colored by the ways of the world. And Jeremiah 29:11 demonstrates this point of how God intends our lives to go. The scripture says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." We can hear God's voice as in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." God created us to have a two-way communication, and we must always keep this in mind. We should listen and not speak. Sometimes we need to do a lot of listening, but God also needs us to respond in action. I told you about the job that I just took, and it was a step and a leap of faith. But God gave me confirmation in all kinds of ways, and I won't get into all of them, but mostly it was through Him, but also through people. I had some reservations about leaving that job because I was comfortable in it. There were issues that I was not happy with, but I knew that it was a time for me to make a change. He gave me confirmation along the way through His word, through prayer, through other people and circumstances. You see, God gives us that clarity when we rely on Him. Him and Him only. We just need to respond to His leading. I was thinking about Joshua again this morning. You know, we talked about being strong and being courageous and how Joshua had to step into some, I think Rick said it, he stepped in some big shoes to fill. Moses died. And I think about that often in my own life and how God's been working in my life and to try to affect the cause of Christ and to reach the lost. And it's a humbling thing because God loves all of us and He wants to see the potential play out in our lives. Each one of us, everyone sitting in this congregation. This is not a sermon about me, but it's a sermon about God and listening to Him, because our potential is yet to be reached. We're works in progress. You see, I've told this story before, but it's very appropriate again, and I'm going to tie all this in together as I go through the message. You see, God first began to whisper in my heart back in 2004 after the passing of my dad, and many of you remember that I came to the front of the church after Dad passed away, and I felt the Lord leading. And I hadn't spoken on this part as much. I remember standing right there with Brian Kramer and knowing that God was speaking into my heart that He wanted me to be of greater service. But I didn't really see it as grief really took over my life. I wasn't really dealing with His death very well, and I knew that God was in my life. I knew that I was serving Him, but I just dismissed that, you know, His calling upon my life was not really, it was just my grief involved, and I had all these things kind of mixed up. But as time went along, He revealed more to me, and I found that it wasn't just emotion. See, I couldn't get up here before and not cry about this. Doing pretty good today. The thing is that God never stopped speaking to me, but I also had to respond. Have you experienced the inner voice of God speaking to you? And some people say they've heard that audible voice of God, but I've never heard that. And I'm not going to dismiss whether someone has or not. That's between them and their Lord. I've never heard it, but it's undeniable when He does speak to you, that's an inaudible voice. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:14, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." The scripture essentially says that if we are God's children and born again, we will be led by the Spirit. We have been studying the Psalms in our Sunday school, actually on Wednesday nights for a while, and that study has really been very meaningful to me. And I know that with Psalms, it speaks to the heart. Those books, those chapters and verses speak so much to the circumstances that we face every day. Each one of us. We all face tragedy. We all face difficulty. But I wanted to read, speak specifically on Psalm 37, 23, and 24. And it says this: "The steps of a good, righteous, born-again person are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." You see, God will continue to bless us even if we mess up and are sincere in his will. We may mess up, but in sincerity of our heart, God knows our heart. Sometimes we just need to search our heart and determine what we should be doing. You see, God is this God of second chances. Where the world will give up on you, God never will. He says it in his word. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Probably the most difficult part of hearing God is that we must take time to discern his voice. We must also have a humble heart. It took me a while to respond to God's calling in my life, but I believe it was his timing. I really do. You see, God put all of you in my life, every one of you. And during those times that I was going through the decisions I was trying to make for my life, I would receive encouragement from you. A kind word, a pat on the back. That meant a lot to me, and it still does. You just have no idea how much that means to me. But I was also blessed to come here and to fill this pulpit when Brian left. Did I ever think I would be getting up here filling the pulpit? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I was going to be Waldo out there, and you'd have to find me. I've gotten to know many people through the ministries of this church, through the men's breakfast, through the men's ministries, through Sunday school. Got to know you more. Got to understand you more in your life. And we fellowship together. We've shared our struggles. We've shared our victories in life. And they will continue. Surely they will all continue until our Lord comes back someday. And I don't think it'll be long. I really don't. I don't know when, but I don't think it'll be long. You know, it's truly undeniable how God places people and circumstances in our lives. And that's to further his work and bring others to Christ in fellowship. You see, this is what the disciples did as well. They played, they prayed, they fellowshiped, they ate together. And that's what we do, don't we? We Baptists do the eating part real well. But we play too, and we pray. You see, they were listening to God's voice too, through all of that. This is serious stuff here. But when we fellowship, we're worshiping together with one another and building each other up. When we're playing together, that's important. I would also caution you that there are additional voices that whisper into your ear. And they're the voices of Satan and his desires for you. In John 10:4 and chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, Jesus tells us that sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we can train our ears to hear the voice of God over all this mess and muck of life. Hebrews 5:15 says, "But solid food belongs to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You see, practice makes perfect. And if we're in the Word and we're in prayer and we're in fellowship, when the doors are open here, not always. Sometimes we're sick and sometimes we can't be here. But when we try to do those things diligently, things are going to be better for us. Not that we're not going to face difficulty. Because we will. I don't know how the world does it when they don't have Christ in their life. They're not doing it very well. I see it on the faces of all people, a lot of people that I come in contact with. I like what Isaiah 30:21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. So God will speak to us, and we can hear him, but take caution you do not follow another voice. Sometimes we think it is the voice of God telling us something, but it could be our fleshly desires just speaking. Beware of the great deceiver, and that's Satan, because he wants to drive a wedge into your life and mislead you. So how do we know we're truly hearing God's voice? There's seven basic ways, and there are less, and I'm going to talk about that, to being led to know that we're being, the voice of God is genuine. But we also have to cautiously examine our hearts and our minds to that voice. The seven ways to know we are hearing God's voice begins with Scripture. I try every day, not perfect. I try to read the Word every day in the morning, because with me, it's coffee in the morning, and then 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, for some reason, is pretty much the, my clarity, and because of the work, the day of the work or whatever. So I know that. I know that for myself. Whatever works for you, do it. Some people read before they go to bed. That's an awesome thing. And actually, it's proven. Young people, if you're having trouble sleeping, this has been proven. Put your devices up 2 hours before you go to bed and read the Bible. Your sleep will improve, I guarantee it. Put your electronic devices, because it affects your circadian rhythm. And you can't sleep right. It's true. I know it sounds corny, but it's very true. So reading before you go to bed is an awesome thing too. The second reason, the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart. The third is prophetic means. The fourth is godly counsel. Five is confirmation, and I've spoken on that for myself. Six, the peace of God, and seven, circumstances. Now, all four, seven of these do not have to be in place for you to know that this is what God's will is for your life, or the purpose he's speaking to you. But what I would say is the four main ones, and we know what they are. They're Scripture, prayer, and circumstances, and people. Those are the main ones. But you can have a variation of all of it. The main thing is that you listen. When he speaks, you listen. But most of all, you're acting. Be intentional in your life. We talk a lot about that lately in this church. You see, I think there's great things going to happen in this church. I know we're small in number today. Do not be discouraged. You're here. God has so much more in store for this church, but he just wants a heart of service. And I know this church is a serving church, but sometimes we look at what we think things should be, instead of like what I said, what our potential is. We see things as we should see. Our expectations are not often in God's timing. God's timing takes us out further sometimes because he wants to grow us. And we're in a growing phase right now in this church. I really believe that. You see, God will confirm our direction with three or more of the things I noted. But it doesn't have to be all of the things. It can be four, it can be three. But I think the main thing is that we are preparing for that, to hear the voice. And when we do, that we make preparations for what God has. I'd also encourage you to pray for clarity. Pray for clarity in your life as it pertains to service to God. Many a time I had to pray that, because I really needed God to give me clarity and give me open doors of service, and he did. You can hear the voice of God and know with confidence he is speaking to you, because you have to listen. Because if you're the one talking all the time and asking and asking and asking, and you're not waiting to hear, then you're just asking. I know firsthand, because he spoke to me 11 years ago, what that means. I pray for clarity, and now I fill the pulpits around the Eastern Shore. And it's been a blessing to do that, get to know the people I come in contact with and see people where they are in their life. You see, we're all in this world together. And I like the song today that the choir sung, Heal Our Nation. I believe that's what it's called. the words, we do need healing. But most of all, we need to heal from within before we can reach out to the world and to reach a world that is broken. How do we do that? Well, I've already talked about it. We have to be in the Word. We have to be praying. Mom says we need to be prayed up. I like that. That's true. We need to be prayed up. But are we prayed all the way up? Not yet. Is God calling you to a greater service? If so, share your testimony with everyone you come in contact with that will listen. Do not be afraid. As Joshua was, be strong and courageous, correct? He was. Continue to fight the good fight, because you see, we're God's army. We're His special forces. I like the military slant to these things, because God, we are in his army, the good army. And I wanted to share with you, we've got a few minutes. In doing, preparing this sermon, I ran across some things. I've been going through some, I love old houses and I love old things. And if I don't have time to go over all of it, I'm not going to, but I wanted to share with you a couple things. We talk about our freedom in July 4th and, you know, the signing of the Declaration of Independence and what that meant for our nation. It meant a lot because it freed us from, you know, the bondage we had from England and, you know, all the things that they were doing. People were not, we were still part of a government that people did not agree with. But I wanted to read something I found in here. Y'all may know this, but I did too. I kind of knew the story, but I thought it was significant, and I'm going to tie it in with the sermon today. And it's about Joshua Thomas, the parson of the islands, the man that came to Tangier and spoke to the people. But he also spoke to the British soldiers that took over Tangier during the war in the early 1800s. The war on Baltimore, the Battle of Baltimore. But I want to read this. This is kind of neat. These are his words. This is Joshua Thomas speaking. He said, I attended a religious meeting in Virginia when 30 years of age. Lorenzo Dow was preaching very powerfully when a woman in the congregation became excited and happy. She started up shouting out loud. The preacher cried out, the Lord is here. He is with that sister. I immediately jumped up on my feet to see the Lord, but I could not see him. That man must be one of the deceivers. But God opened my eyes soon after so that I could discern him and his spirit's mighty presence and power. After returning to the island following this conversion, he felt he must translate his thoughts into action, so he talked with his neighbor, Thomas Crockett, and together they called a meeting the next Sunday. It was well attended, and the praying and singing lasted 6 hours. From then on, Sunday services were regular, and in 1825, the first church was opened to 16 members, and in 1899, the present Swain Memorial Methodist Episcopal Church was built. Through the activity of Thomas, the first annual camp meeting was held on the island in 1808. It was continued and to be well attended by people of numerous bay islands, and the campground being a grove of large trees on the south beach. This is what I want to get into. In 1813, two important events occurred in the life of Joshua Thomas. The first was the arrival of the island of a strong British fleet under the command of Admiral Cockburn. All of the islanders became theoretical prisoners of war, and the construction of two forts began, one on each side of the campground. When cutting of the trees on the campground started, Thomas went aboard the flagship and persuaded the admiral to let them stand. Thought that was neat. The second event was the loss of his beloved wife, Rachel, but Thomas saw the immediate need of a new mother for his young children. So in a few weeks, he married Lottie Bradshaw. In the summer, the British were preparing the expedition against Baltimore. And the parson's own words will be used to tell the episode in which he became a participant. This is where I want to get into. I'm just leading up to this. Before they left Tangier, they sent me word to be ready to hold a public meeting and exhort the soldiers on the campground. I did not like to refuse, and yet I was very unwilling to perform this duty. I thought and prayed over the matter, and it became to me that I must stand up for Jesus as a good soldier in the fight of the faith, and as some of these men might be killed in the battle and never have another opportunity to worship, that it was my duty and privilege to obey their order and hold the meeting. At the hour appointed, the soldiers were all drawn up in solid columns, about 12,000 men, under the pines of the old campground, which formed the open space in the center of their tents. I stood on the little platform erected at the end of the camp nearest the shore, all the men facing me with their hats off, held by the right hand under their left arm. An officer stood on my right and one on my left, and sentries were stationed a little distance to the rear. As I looked around my congregation, I never had such feelings in my life, but I felt determined to give them a faithful warning, even if those officers with those keen, glittering swords would cut me pieces for speaking the truth to them. You see, Joshua Thomas was a brave, strong, and brave man too, because he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth to people going to a battle that may not come back alive. You see, Joshua Thomas, I believe, heard the word of God being spoken to him to speak to those men. That's all it could be. He goes on to talk about details of the sermon, but that's the more important part I want to share with you. The other man is Elijah Baker. Elijah Baker. And I want to tell you, this is kind of weird. Joshua Thomas was born in 1776 in Somerset County. Elijah Baker came to the Eastern Shore on Easter of 1776. And many of you know the history of this. I see grins. But I'm going to share it with those of you who don't. He came here to preach. He came from Gloucester County to establish the church. When you talk about church planters, he was the first church planter of the Eastern Shore. He came here in 1776 on Easter to preach to a church in Lower Northampton, which later became, actually did not preach in the church. The church was not established. At that time, the Anglican Church of England was the predominant church on the shore. And the way I understand it is the people were not happy. Their spiritual needs were not being met. And so it was timely that Elijah Baker come to the Eastern Shore to speak to the people. Well, interestingly enough, when he came in 1776, the pastor didn't show up to preach. So he was there. It was very timely that he came at that moment because he brought the message. But in 1778, he was jailed in Accomack Debtors' Prison for 56 days because he spoke against the, basically, in a lot of people's eyes, he spoke against the Anglican Church. Little did the people on the Eastern Shore know that the Bill of Rights had already been signed in Virginia, and he was being held wrongfully. So he had to be released. It didn't stop there. He was put on a ship to be sent to England. But on the way to England, he asked to speak to the people and share the good word with them and to sing with them. What happened from there is some of those people were converted to Christ. They made a conversion and they released him. Elijah Baker from there formed Lower Northampton Baptist Church, the longest running church, I believe, in history that's documented on paper. From there, he formed Red Bank Baptist. From there, he formed Shinkatig Baptist, which is a little church up in New Church. I've seen it before, and I always wonder why it was called Shinkatig and it's in New Church. The idea was that a lot of Shinkatig people went there. That was, they believe. And from there, he formed Holly's Baptist Church. It was the church that my wife grew up in, and we've attended there. You see, I'm saying all this today because there were people that came before us, and I found it interesting that their lives were during the period of the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. One was born during that year, and one came here. You see, we're covered up with history of people, trailblazers for the cause of Christ. We should be encouraged. We have wonderful history in our lives to look to, but most of all, we had this historical document that played out and still does. Will we listen? Will we listen when God speaks? They did. They did. They stayed on the eastern shore and witnessed to the people here and formed a lot of the churches. This church was an offshoot of all the ones I've named. Exmoor Baptist, the Nancock Baptist Church, Zion Baptist Church were offshoots of all those original churches I was talking about. But it took people to come forward and step out on faith and to look beyond their own means, but look to what God had given them, the gifts he had given them. So what I would say to you is this, and I'm going to close with this. We have a wonderful inheritance, especially because God has given us so much. And we have so much more to look forward to. But while we're here in this place we call the United States of America, this place we call free, use your gifts to bring others to Christ while we still have those liberties, because someday they could be taken away from us. And I don't know what Pastor was going to speak on. He wanted to speak last week and about, you know, something along those lines maybe, but I felt it, you know, very appropriate to tie these two men in with my sermon today. You know, we are rich in history here on the shore, especially the beginnings of the church in America. It's neat stuff. Go online and Google it tonight if you want to read more about, just look up Elijah Baker, and there was a paper written by Laverne Smith, I believe, that talks a lot about what I said. It's really good, and it talks about the early church on the shore. She did a paper on it. It's a shame somebody here didn't do it. You know, I always thought about that, but anyway. But think about the things that the people that have come before us and what they've done. We're blessed because we live here on the eastern shore in the United States of America. Our liberty has been bought at a price, and I thank the men that have stood up. Please stand again. Let's give them a round of applause. Please stand if you've served in the armed services. Please stand. If you feel like the Lord is leading you in a greater service in your life, don't deny that voice. Keep praying for understanding, clarity, because God will reveal so much. But ask him to open doors of opportunity. And be ready to respond, because it's going to mean that you're going to have to step out on faith and take chances. And it's a big, big blessing to have that in your life. But I just want to thank you all for your attention this morning, and as you've allowed me to get all this stuff that's been going through my head all morning, how I was going to tie it together, but I hope I did it service. But for our hymn of response, and if you want to come forward, you want to pray with me, you have a prayer, a concern on your heart, come forward and pray at the front as the Lord leads you. And we're going to turn to hymn number 446, Take Time to Be Holy. Rick, I need your help on this one. Huh?
We'll start.
Okay.